This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, continuing our NFL previews, NFC South Week, and it's the Atlanta Falcons' turn. 7-9 last season, a lot of injuries. Gina Thomas joins us, SB Nation, to talk Falcons. How are you, Gina?
Hi there, how are you this morning?
Always good to talk to you. I'm so glad to get you on for this, because I was telling Ron earlier, I said, Gina's so good with the Falcons breakdown, and I kind of need this, because I want to know about last season, 7-9, Gina. This was an injury-riddled team,
yes.
But was this a disappointing season still on top of all the injuries?
Yeah, I think it was, and I think that Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitrov both have much warmer seats because of it. Even though they did have the catastrophic injuries, the coaching staff still made some questionable decisions with replacement players and had some guys playing for longer than they should have and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I think that it was still a big disappointment, not just for fans, but, you know, also for Arthur Blank and for the team as a whole.
What injury really affected them the most? Which one really dictated a segment of their team that really was just – they just never recovered from?
It's really hard to pin down. I would say it's got to be either. It's hard to pick between the two safeties because that just disrupted the way that they were able to cover receivers. And also when you lose a player like Gunnar Needles, who's so good against the run and the pass, that's a real challenge. But I guess if I really had to pick just one, I'd have to say middle linebacker Deion Jones. He's kind of the quarterback of the defense. And so missing him, it wasn't just losing his play and his athletic ability on the field, but it was also losing his ability to anticipate what offenses were going to be doing and then communicating that to the rest of the team. So having him back is huge for this season.
All right, even though the last year at 7-9, how was the offense and how was Matt Ryan? How would you, despite the fact that there were obstacles beyond his control, how did he play last season?
Yeah, well, what's kind of amazing about Matt Ryan is that his numbers were awfully similar to his 2016 MVP season, which was fascinating when you consider the fact that both starting guards landed on injured reserve. And so he was dealing with a line that was basically a bunch of turnstiles. And so the fact that he was able to put up those numbers under really incredible pressure all season was very impressive.
Steve Sarkisian has stepped down. Dirk Koetter is back. He's a very passing-friendly offensive coordinator. What didn't go right with Sarkisian, and what is it going to be different with Koetter in terms of what the Falcons will look like?
You know, I think that Sarkisian just did not have play-calling experience at the professional level, and I think it's a very different ballgame. And so I think that it was something that he was never really able to get up to speed. With Koetter, you're getting somebody who's very experienced, not just in the league, but also with the talent that the Falcons have on the offensive side of the ball. And so I think that that shortens the learning curve for him. Ryan had one of his best seasons in 2012 under Koetter's leadership, so I think that we're all very eager to see how that works out for the offense this year.
We kind of watched Michael Thomas get his deal with the Saints, and then I immediately said, well, this is going to be any day now. Julio Jones will get his deal. We're still waiting on that deal. How close are they to locking him up?
You know, Julio's agent was here in Atlanta last week meeting with the Falcons front office about it. It's something that Julio has said repeatedly. He's not really concerned about it. It's, you know, it's front office business. His agent's handling it for him, and I do think that it will come soon because I think that the team doesn't have much of a choice. But in the meantime, at least their star receiver isn't upset about the timetable. And, yeah, I think that that will probably help them get something done.
And Gina, can you speak to that? Because there's something a little different about this. We get the business part of the sport, right? Guys want new deals. They'll say, look, I love you guys, but I'm not reporting or whatever until we get this done. He's been in camp. He is not participating in preseason games, but he's been at camp. There seems to be this big trust that he has that Arthur Blank will make good on his word. Is that something that is cultivated with the Falcons in terms of the ownership on down?
Yeah, I really think that it is. I think that is something that Arthur Blank values is the trust and respect that he's built with his players. And so Julio has been very consistent about it. He does not seem remotely concerned about this getting done. Arthur Blank said that he wants Julio to be a Falcon for life, and I think that Julio is taking him at his word on that.
How is the running game going to look? No Tevin Coleman, but is it in better, good shape, average shape, worse shape?
You know, I think it's going to be in better shape, primarily because of the investments that they've made along the offensive line. Bringing in James Carpenter at one of those guard spots, he's a real road grader. I'm very excited about first-round pick Chris Lindstrom. And so we've already seen, particularly in last week's preseason game, that they were opening some pretty good-sized holes for this running game. And I think that really is the biggest part of it that was missing last year, in addition to Devontae Freeman being on injured reserve. So I'm really interested to see how this works out. But I think the Falcons may actually have a ground game this year, which would be a nice improvement for that team.
Gina Thomas joins us, SB Nation, talking the Atlanta Falcons as we continue our NFL previews. Defensively, give me Dan Quinn, because we know he's such a defensive-minded guy. How much input does he have on the defensive play calling as a head coach?
Well this year he is going to have 100% input.
100%.
He has taken over basically the defensive coordinator duties. Bob Sutton is going to be helping him out with some of the in-game decisions and, you know, game management type of things, so that he doesn't get too bogged down in the details with managing both. But yeah, Dan Quinn will be calling defensive plays this year.
So what does the defense look like when everybody's healthy? What is the ideal on paper look, if you will, of the Falcons defense when everybody's healthy and everything's rolling along?
Well, I think that if you look back to the 2017 season, the first season post that 28-3 Super Bowl implosion, the defense was actually quite good. And so I think that what we'll see with all of those key young players healthy again this year is a return to that 2017 form, which is pretty encouraging for Falcons fans, because as much talent as they have on offense, if they can get the defense back up to those levels, I think that this team could be pretty difficult to beat.
In terms of being able to stop the run, I mean, look at the division. I mean, just the division alone. I mean, Alvin Kamara, Christian McCaffrey, it's got some runners in this division. How strong are they in that department?
You know, I think that they have the potential to be strong. For one thing, you know, they extended Grady Jarrett, one of the better defensive tackles in the league, who's able to get pressure on quarterbacks up the middle, but also as a run thumper. And then, again, you know, having Keanu Neal, the strong safety, back on the field, he is very good against the run. And, you know, then the speed that they have in guys like Deion Jones, Devondre Campbell, and the linebacker core, I think that they should be at least adequate against the run, if not good against the run.
Gina, I read, and we don't usually talk kickers, but I saw last week they brought in Blair Walsh. Do they have a kicking competition now?
They do have a kicking competition now, and honestly, I'm a little bit surprised that they waited this long. Giorgio Specchio has really struggled this preseason. I think that they knew that he was, you know, having kind of some mental challenges with his kicking. You know, I think that that's what's throwing him off. So I think that they didn't want to make that harder for him. But after his performance in week three, I just don't think they had a choice. So now Blair Walsh is here to kind of duke it out for the rest of this week with Pavecchio, and we'll see who lands on the roster.
I do this all the time. I ask kind of larger picture questions when it comes to franchises and teams when we do these previews. Gina, from the standpoint of the Super Bowl loss and how that went down, some organizations bounce back and then some struggle with that. They try to get back quickly to where they just were. How did the Falcons over the last few years deal with that, not only getting to that Super Bowl, but the loss and the business of building the team that could be competitive going forward from that?
I think that if you look at their performance in that 2017 season, you know, that was a year that they did make the playoffs. They were able to knock off the Rams, and then they ended up losing in the divisional round to the Eagles. But that was a very strong season for them. You know, it definitely wasn't what they hoped for. What they hoped for was obviously, like every single team, a trip back to the Super Bowl. But they did very well. Last year, I think that they would have been competitive had it not been for the injuries, particularly on defense. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that the Falcons are a little bit in win-now mode, and I think that that's why you've seen them kind of lock up some of their younger players and that sort of thing. But I also think that they're capable of having a very strong season. So I think that they've done a nice job of building this team and making sure they have the talent in place to be competitive.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, again, more that I looked into this team in preparation for this, and the more that I saw the list of injuries, I got to be honest with you, Gene. I don't know if you feel the same way. It seems like 7-9. I mean, that's an impressive mark for all of the players that they had lost or had lost time on the season.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you just think about it in the context of losing both starting guards, losing arguably your best player on defense and Deion Jones, and then losing both starting safeties, that's a lot to overcome, not to mention your starting running back. So, yeah, it was. I think that if you look at those injuries collectively, it's hard to see how they could have done much better than they did last season.
Gina, always good talking to you. I know we'll catch up with you during the regular season, but always good catching up with you. It's really cool to talk about the Falcons with you. Appreciate it.
Yep, thanks so much for having me.
You got it. Gina Thomas, SB Nation. Always like talking to her, especially during the season. She's good, like, across the board for NFL, but she's based in Atlanta, covers the Falcons for SB Nation, really does a good job. So, again, like she was saying earlier, like, so we talked about this with the Seahawks, right? When the Seahawks lost that Super Bowl to the Patriots, you know, throwing the ball at the goal line instead of giving it to Marshawn Lynch, you feel like something was happening, like something happened to them.
Or still.
Right? Like still, yeah. Right? They didn't really recover. Right. Well, the Falcons, they, like she said, they made the playoffs the next year. They lost to the eventual Super Bowl champions. Last year was injury riddled. But a lot of teams, when you lose a Super Bowl like that, you go, OK, look, wait a minute. Hold on. We got to get back to where we just were. Like, how do we get back to where we just were? Like, we can't let that opportunity slip by. And we don't want to be a footnote in history. Like, we had a team with we have a quarterback that is coming off an MVP season. We really were the toast of the league. We had home field advantage to the playoffs the year we did go to this. How do we just keep that up? This is a hard league to do that in. Everybody's a realist, right? We know that just because you went 13-3 doesn't mean, oh, well, we should go 13-3 again. All sorts of things change. Injuries plague you. All sorts of things. Other teams get better, but you better capitalize on what you have that got you there and try to at least snag one title.
No,
right? Snag it once.
In fact, this Falcons squad, I mean, they are dangerously close becoming that footnote. They need to get back. They definitely
they really
need to get
do
back because forever, if the Falcons don't get back, say it takes another 10, 15, 20 years for them to get back, because what it took them nearly 20 years to get to the Super Bowl from the last appearance, right?
Right. Yeah, late 90s to...
Late 2000s. I mean, this team, it'll go down as the worst loss in Super Bowl history.
Oh, yeah.
You can go with the blowouts that happen. Sure, you know, I mean, Chargers never even showed up against the Niners. I mean, they're just a footnote of that was a terrible loss from, you know, playing by the Chargers playing against a really good Niners team.
Yeah, not 28-3.
But coughing up 28-3 with, yeah, what, 9 minutes left in the game? That's ooh.
Yeah, it's, and again, it's the way that team, it wasn't one of those surprising moments, right? Because they were good the whole year. Their quarterback, yeah, was the MVP. They were the best team in the NFC. When they showed up in that first part of that Super Bowl, you said, okay, I get it. This is the best team in the NFL. And then all of a sudden, they just let it slip away. Mistake after mistake after mistake. Throwing the ball and not running out the clock, and little things that they did, taking a penalty, taking a sack when they shouldn't have taken a sack to put them out of field goal range, all sorts of things in that game that went wrong. You can get into desperation mode quickly because you do want to capitalize. Now, just real quick before we go, it's very similar to the same team in the city with baseball. Remember when the Braves finally got out of the basement and started making the playoffs, but they were losing in the postseason?
Oh, yeah.
They were losing to Toronto. I think they lost to Toronto twice. No, once. They lost to the Twins. They
had that stretch of like almost, what, 10 years of winning the National League East?
Right. Right, and they were winning, but they weren't turning it into what people kept predicting. They had one championship when it was all done,
yeah,
right? I mean, they didn't turn it into the thing that they do. It's the same thing here. The Falcons need to sort of get back and get – we'll always remember 28-3, but it does add something when you kick in with a championship.
Softens the blow.
Softens the blow when a few years later you win another championship.
Yep.
All right, on Twitter, @TonyDRadio, @RonCulver. That's Ron with two N's on SB Nation AM.